Now, let's learn from the Bible. Today's passage is Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Since the New Year Day service, we have shared the words of the theme scripture 5 times, and today is the 6th and the last time. Chapter 1 is a word that may be said to summarize the contents of the 66 books of the Bible. So the richness of the word itself is like a wellspring of water which gets deeper as you dig. However, I would like to leave Psalm chapter 1 after today and return to Ephesians next week. I hope to continue sharing the important message of Psalm 1 from Ephesians and other biblical passages. This morning, I would like to focus on the last part of today's passage, a tree planted by the stream. As we have seen in Psalm 1, the psalmist refers to those whose lives are nurtured in relationship with the God of with God, and whose lives are nurtured by the Word of God as the blessed and righteous. And such a person is likened to a tree planted by the stream. As I was pondering over this analogy of a tree planted by the stream, I realized that there is one significant characteristic of this tree. That is, it was planted. When you think of trees, do you usually think of trees that grow naturally in forests, groves, or mountains? Or do you think of trees that have been planted? When I say the word tree, I think of a natural tree that grows wild in a forest, woodland, or etc. So when I read the words of Psalm 1, a tree planted by the tree, I thought of a tree growing naturally by the water or with its roots submerged in water like a mangrove. However, upon closer inspection, we realized that the tree is a planted tree, and it was planted with intention, even specifying the location by the stream. We realized that someone with an intention moved the tree from somewhere else and planted it there. When we think about this expression, planted, we realize that it corresponds to the core content of what the Bible is saying. And we realize that David, the author of Psalm 1, expresses that core content with a richly scenic and easy-to-understand analogy. That tree was not planted there by its own thought or power, but it was planted by someone else with a purpose and intention. This is precisely the gospel the Bible speaks of. To believe in the Lord Jesus and become a Christian who knows God, and to be what Psalm chapter 1 calls a blessed and righteous person, does not happen naturally. It is not something that you strive for. Rather, it is the work of God's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, in whom God, who created heaven and earth and all things, has purposed to do so. It means that God the Holy Spirit planted each one of us in a good place at the banks of the stream with a plan that is appropriate and unique to each one of us. That is what has happened to us, and there are many more who are yet to come, to be planted. Let us look at John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is a very famous Bible verse. And many people quote this verse. This verse basically says, whoever believes in the Lord will be like a tree planted by the stream. And the act of planting is done by God. The Bible is not a book that records man's activities, but what God has done. It is not a book that records the efforts of people who wander from place to place in their search for God, but it is a book that records the opposite of that. You know, each person does what is right and good in his own eyes or in her own eyes, but God is always behind them. Just as God himself descended into the Garden of Eden when the first man sinned and was perplexed in the Garden of Eden, God has always descended and followed and pursued ever since. God was always trying to be with us. And God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, descended in the most precious form, pursuing each and every one of us who have become lost. And how far did he come and pursue us? Let's look at Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 10. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 10. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he called his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We do not become blessed, righteous, and Christian like the tree planted by the stream, by our efforts, good deeds, and aspirations. God pursues the sheep that has lost its way. In fact, you know, Jesus pursued us until he died on the cross of Mount Calvary. God pursued a lost sheep that had been lost and had to wander around in the darkness. God pursued it until he planted it by the stream, even if it meant death of Jesus. For those who did not know they were lost sheep or lost silver coins, God sacrificed himself to the point of death to reveal his love for us, to transform us into blessed people, into the righteous people, into trees planted by the stream, into Christians who know the love of the true God. This is God's work of planting and the grace of being planted has happened to us. Jesus Christ is the stream. and to be connected to him is to be planted by the stream. Therefore, no one is born a Christian in this world. No matter where you're born, whether you're born in a Christian country or not, whether your mother or father is Christian or not, no one is born as a Christian. Just because a person is born and raised in a Christian home does not mean that he or she is a born-again Christian. That is exactly what the Bible says. In Romans 3, chapter 3, which we looked at last week, it says, "There is none righteous, not one. There is no one who seeks God. All have gone away, and everyone has become useless." Also, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "You are dead in your transgressions and sins, and by birth you deserve the wrath of God." And David, who composed Psalm 1, even confesses in Psalm chapter 51, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." So David said, he was sinful at birth. Unlike a naturally growing tree that grows over time, so people do not grow and naturally become a righteous person, as a blessed person, as a Christian who knows God. People must be planted. The work of God, who lovingly used the Virgin Mary to send his only begotten Son, Jesus, to this earth from the eternal throne of glory, so that he molds us into Christians. It is not our efforts, our righteousness, or our justice, but the fact that God sent his only Son, Jesus, to this earth. This is the core and means, it's the meaning of God's work of planting. Even if God recreated Adam and sent him to this earth, Adam would not have take the place of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus, the only holy and sinless one, who lived a perfect life, who was able to obey and keep all that the Lord of God required, could have done this. Only Jesus, whose death on Calvary's cross could take our place and could take us and plant us in God, the stream of life. In no other way we can become righteous. Jesus is the only way who can make us righteous. Now let us look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 21. "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus had no sin, so he did not need to die, but he died in order to make each person like a tree planted by the stream. Not only did he die, but he rose from the dead by the power of God, completely conquering death and hell, rendering them powerless, and tearing to shreds the eternal disease of death. On the day of Pentecost, the 50th day after Jesus was raised from the dead, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit of promise and descended into humanity. With that, Jesus accomplished the work of planting by the stream, of us being connected to the Lord Jesus, bringing all good results to those who believe and trust in him, so that we do not perish in the face of God's judgment. On that day of Pentecost, when Apostle Peter preached, the people were touched in the heart and turned to Jesus' disciples and asked, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They asked. Peter replied, "Each of you, you should repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift." By receiving the Holy Spirit, we are, in a sense, planted by God. Peter continued, "Be saved from this crooked age," and 3,000 people became Christians. It is God who makes a person a Christian. God has made us like a tree that will flourish forever by planting us near a stream. Thus, if a person is made a Christian, he or she will have nothing to boast about, for God has made all of it, because God has done it all. As Apostle Paul confessed, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am." Grace is something that we receive even though we do not deserve it at all, and that is called grace. God has done everything and caused drastic change in the human soul. And this is grace. And even now, He is working to make things happen to the souls of people by planting them near the stream. In Jesus Christ, we human beings become trees planted by the stream. We are made Christians through God's great work of planting and through the spiritual experience of being planted. As I mentioned in my previous sermons, becoming a Christian is not something that we add to what we already possess and wear. To become a Christian means that God is making us into an entirely new being. It would mean that He would breathe new life into us and instill in us new principles and perspectives that would be so different from the way we had lived and seen before. Christians are those who have been transformed from lifeless beings into trees planted along the banks of the stream of life. God the Holy Spirit accomplished this by dwelling in us. God will dwell in us and because of that, we will experience conflicts, battles, and sufferings that we have never experienced before, because we are given new values as Christians. So, although we become joyous when we become Christians, we experience conflicts, battles, and sufferings after we become Christians as well, because we are now given new Christian values. But these struggles, battles, and sufferings do not end in bitterness and emptiness, but they lead us to divine reward, mercy, forgiveness, joy, gratitude, and to a place of love for oneself and for others. When the time comes, we will be made to bear such fruit. Let's look at Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 through 7. Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 through 7. This is what David wrote. Psalms chapter 32, verses 1 through 7. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was snapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You'll protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Now, jump to verse 10. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. You righteous, sing, all you who are upright in heart. The passage says that if you have been transformed into a righteous person, a blessed person, your hand was heavy on me. You know, God's hand was heavy on me because you are shown your sinful state. But if you struggle, if you fight, and eventually surrender, bow down, do not fight back, and confess your sin to God by saying, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, that God will forgive you, your sins. If we confess our sins and iniquities, he will forgive us and protect us, and grace will surround us and lead us to a place of joy and enjoyment. That's what that passage says. By expressing our repentance to God, God forgive us, and he becomes our hiding place. I'm sure that some of you have replanted a tree. That is a difficult task. If it is a large tree, heavy machinery will be necessary, and even help from many people will be needed. It also involves hard work that may cause a back pain. First, you have to dig up the area around the tree you are replanting. This is a trying time for the tree. The tree is being dug up from a place where it had been reasonably settled. Then plant the trees that was dug up. The ground is dug up at a new place, and then the tree is planted. Then once the tree is planted, we need to cover it with soil so that it will not fall over, and then harden the ground over it. In the same way, the process of becoming a Christian and living as a Christian is not easy. When God the Holy Spirit is planted in us, and when we try to live according to Him, there will be things that happen that had never happened before. We may suddenly feel guilty about things we took for granted earlier. We may face opposition or hindrance from others. We may go through hardships given by Satan. We may be thrown into a spiritual battle and may get tempted to quit believing in God. But the word of Psalm promises that when the time comes, it will bear fruit. Its leaves will not wither, and all that it does will prosper. And it is the word of God, and that reminds of this fact every day. I have spent the last 2 months or so pondering the words of Psalm chapter 1. Recently, I encountered a story in which the words of verse 3, "The tree yields its fruits in season. And it came to me with such emotion that it seems to well up from the center of my body, and tears came out, and I uttered, "Oh Lord, do you know the book entitled Chisan, I Love You," which was published 21 years ago and became a bestseller, selling more than 500,000 copies in Japan and South Korea combined. A Japanese TV program even aired a video that reconstructed the tragic accident the author, Lee Chi-sun, had experienced. I once went to a Yorubas church in Tokyo with the youth of Megumi Church to listen to a lecture given by Miss Chi-sun. About 25 years ago, Lee Chi-sun's car was struck by a drunk driver, which caught fire. She was rescued by his brother, although when she was on fire. 55% of her body suffered severe burns. As a result, she was disfigured and was sometimes called a monster by children who saw her. This was very, very hurtful to Chi-sun. She was at the time a college student who was studying early childhood education. One of her fingers is gone. It was a miracle that she survived the accident, and her life was changed forever. And she's a Christian, and she wrote a book entitled Chi-sun, I Love You, based on her faith in Jesus. And I had the opportunity to learn about the current developments of Lee Chi-sun. I have a mentor who was a mentor to me when I was in the U.S. and continues to send me essays written by him every week. Recently, he sent me a YouTube video of a conversation he had with Lee Chi-sun. So, through this YouTube video, I learned about the recent situation of Chi-sun, and I realized the meaning of the word, "tree yields its fruit in season." She has undergone more than 50 surgeries, including one that she says was like hell, to repair the skin that still sticks up from the burns. But in that video, I saw her testimony of living with Jesus. 23 years ago, she had to quit the university she was attending due to serious burns she had sustained. But by God's grace, she's now is a professor at the university she had resigned from. And now she's teaching to her students at the university welfare for people with disabilities. Anyway, when she suffered her accident and suffered severe burns, you know, she had to leave her university, but she received support from her church and other organizations, and she was able to study at an American university after the accident. And she earned 2 master's degrees and a doctoral degree in the area of welfare for people with disabilities. She received her doctoral degree from UCLA, and after 23 years after the accident, she was back as a professor at her alma mater. And she's very popular with her students because her students appreciate what she teaches because she has disabilities. So Chi-san went through a great trial. But so she has experienced not only she bore fruit in the kingdom of heaven, and the fruit that can only be described as God's work in her life here on earth. So Miss Chi-san was comforted and encouraged by God, and she praised the Lord's hand. And so I remembered the immeasurable and the work of God. You know, God does immense, incredible work in guiding those who He loves. God is amazing. God leads people. So I learned a lot through this book that I read. And if you're planted in Christ, drink from the fountain of Christ, and live by the breath of Christ, then you are promised of eternal fruitfulness. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. We have this promise. And we are able to taste the fruit of this life of living when we have our faith in Jesus Christ. For the life of those who live in Christ is not the life of man and woman, but the life of God. I believe we are being led to this place of worship. And as we are allowed to taste that kind of life every day, I believe that the Holy Spirit is doing His work in us to bring us from a place where we are trying to get satisfaction from somewhere other than Jesus Christ to a place where we are satisfied with Christ alone, with all of Christ. Let's pray.